The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Have you ever wondered what heaven's like? Dr. David Jeremiah is revealing the mysteries of heaven.
You know, the one thing that most people believe about heaven is it's a boring place. And I hear people, you know, Mark Twain used to make some comments about that. He didn't want to go to heaven because there was nothing to do. And most people think that in heaven you play a harp and float around on clouds and all that sort of stuff. And the Bible is so clear about those questions.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have you. You know, we're getting older. And one of the things that happens when you get older, you say goodbye to a lot of your friends. I'm saying goodbye and actually preaching the funerals of people I led to Christ years ago. Some of them very close friends. Some of us have family in heaven that not just parents and relatives, but we have a child in heaven. We have someone here with us today that you, I believe, respect, like Betty and I do, as much as anyone that we know, period. And we do know a lot of very fine, very impactful people who really love God and love others, but this man is a gift. I'm holding a book he wrote that's called Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. And the author is, in my opinion, one of the great statesmen today. Not only in the church, in the nation, but I believe in the world. And it is an honor for Betty and me to welcome back to life today, Dr. David Jeremiah. Would you give him a good hand?
Thank you. Betty, good to see you. Good to be here.
I know you're not looking for somewhere to go. And Betty and I are grateful and honored that you have joined us with your schedule. All of our viewers support everything we do, and because we try to share God's love with even people that think no one ever noticed, but they would be curious, why would you come and spend this time with us when you have such a busy schedule? I'm curious.
James, you're a very persuasive person. That's one of the reasons, but... We've had some wonderful discussions over the years about different things, and when you told me that you wanted to talk about heaven, and then why you wanted to talk about it, that was pretty inviting. So I'm glad to do that.
Well, do you believe that there are a tremendous number of people, and as we do get older and we say goodbye to a lot of people we've known a long time, and I know you are, and as a pastor, you've done probably more funeral sometimes and with people you wouldn't have imagined you were going to be having a funeral at that time. Do you find that the interest and maybe curiosity or very sincere desire to know about it is very, very real in people's lives today, which led you to pour a lot of time into this book? Is that what inspired you to do it?
Well, you know, James, a lot of people talk about heaven and they believe in heaven. They just don't know anything about it. In fact, I think people spend more time planning for a two-week vacation than they plan for where they're going to spend eternity. I mean, they get brochures, they look up the map where they're going to go, and here we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Listen to this. In the Bible, heaven is mentioned 600 times.
Wow.
In the Old Testament, it's mentioned in 33 of the 39 books, and in the New Testament, it's mentioned in 21 of the 27 books. Heaven is everywhere in the Bible. It's always on the horizon. And yet somehow we can read the Bible and read right past all the important things about heaven. And I've had some of the most unbelievable questions asked to me about heaven. And so I decided to, this book is a little different. It's all the questions people ask about heaven that most people wouldn't think about.
What came to your mind when you say, I hear some of these hard to imagine questions? What pops up as some of them that kind of maybe shocked you that people were asking about?
Well, you know, first of all, where is heaven? I mean, people don't know where it is. They think they do. It's up, but they don't know for sure what that means. And is there just one heaven, or is there more than one? And a lot of questions like that. And, you know, the one thing that most people believe about heaven is it's a boring place. And I hear people, you know, Mark Twain used to make some comments about that. He didn't want to go to heaven because there was nothing to do. And most people think that in heaven you know, play a harp and float around on clouds and all that sort of stuff. And the Bible is so clear about those questions that it's just fun to be able to, you know, it's fun to be able to answer some questions right from the scripture that people you know have and that are they're asking those questions.
Yeah, let me read the just the chapter titles. What's up with heaven? Where are they now? Won't heaven be boring? Now these are titles of chapters. Your future superbody. Boy, some of us are waiting for that. A lot of people have been trying to find that for a long time.
They go right to that chapter first.
Right. Wow, and boy, that's heaven's Oscars. The heavenly city, worship in heaven, the new heaven and the new earth. That's interesting. You know, I've told you, I believe God made some things here on earth pretty good. You know, we kind of joked around about it because I like to fish, and I know that there is the river of life. I got to figure there's some fish in it. Am I crazy?
Well, you know, I'm not sure I'm the right guy to answer that question, James.
All right, and then we're going to have, they say, what on earth is the millennium? What about the children? Mm-hmm. And tough-minded about heaven. Could Betty and I, Betty, you really wanted to ask him something on your heart.
Yeah, you know, we lost our daughter at 40 years of age, three beautiful children, and now she's got one granddaughter and another granddaughter on the way. Mm. And after we lost her, my thoughts and my heart went immediately to the thoughts of heaven. Mm-hmm. And what's going on there? You know, what's my daughter doing? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people wonder that. Well, when you go to be with the Lord, what's happening?
Well, you know, Betty, the Bible doesn't tell us everything that's happening in heaven. There's still a lot to look forward to that'll be a surprise and a wonderful blessing to us. But there are some things we do know. Let me tell you a couple things I know for sure. The Bible says, and his servants will serve him. In heaven, there will be a kind of service of God that's unlike anything we know here. Unbounded by time, unfettered by fatigue, no jealousy over who's getting the credit for what, but all for Jesus, all to serve him, and assigned by the Lord himself to tasks that are meaningful. The Bible also says that in heaven, we're going to worship him. And there are more songs in the book of Revelation than in any other book in the Bible except for Psalms. Mm-hmm. The book of Revelation is full of songs. In fact, one place in the book of Revelation, it starts with a blessing and honor, and then it's blessing and honor and glory, and then it's blessing and honor and glory, and it goes all the way. There's a sevenfold praise is the trend. It's the ultimate climax of praise in heaven. And of course, the scripture tells us in Revelation that we'd be gathered around the throne with the throngs of people who know the Lord and praising him. I honestly don't think, there's one thing I know isn't gonna happen in heaven, and it's got me kind of worried. No preaching in heaven. You know, I tell our guys in the music department, you're going to have a job. I'm not going to have a job. I'm not sure what I'm going to have to find. I might have to turn into a musician or something. I'm not sure.
What do you give comfort, though, that you find is effective? Because, you know, to say that our journey has been up and down is not an exaggeration. There are those times that I didn't want to share what I was feeling about the loss of our daughter because I could tell it was so heavy on her. Many times I found myself asking God for the grace to hide where I was or I would have been right with her. And I felt that I needed to somehow comfort her with just some kind of a stability and steadfastness that perhaps exuded a confidence that she wasn't feeling. And then I'm sure it flipped. I feel like that there was a real desire on our part, not so to speak to get down at the same time, but be there to comfort. And I've said to our viewers and would say to everybody here, the thing that I saw about the Christian world was that even people who watched us all over the world would look in and see a mom and a dad that had what they considered to be the most perfect daughter anybody could ever hope. She was a miracle baby. We weren't supposed to ever have another child after we had our first daughter and we adopted a son. And then we had this little miracle baby. And she was a miracle to everybody that knew her, and her children and her church knew what a miracle she was. And now she's gone. And Jack Hayford saw a literal vision. He's only seen two. He said it was like full Technicolor, but he watched Robin go into heaven. And he wrote it all for us. It's a phenomenal thing. He said the closer she got to the house of God, he could tell she was glad. They said, let's go to the house of the Lord, and we could see it. He talked about the joy of the people there. It was just unbelievable what she saw when she experienced it. So obviously there was comfort there, but the people watching us on television, and I'm sure a lot of them in the studio, they really put prayer arms around us, and they really lifted us up. And it meant the world to us. So when you're talking to someone that, like, asks a question, you've heard this question, I'm sure, a lot. What do you think the best thing that people can hold on to get through those highs and lows, and knowing that, yes, she's in the presence of the Lord, but how do we deal with it right here? Any suggestions or counsel there?
Well, James, one of the things that Christians are good at is becoming very pious and spiritual when something like this happens. And the Bible doesn't say that we don't sorrow. The Bible says we don't sorrow as others who have no hope, but we sorrow. Mm-hmm. And for us to get through this process, sorrowing is a part of it. I was just yesterday thinking about how blessed we are to be in life and how blessed we are to have life. You know, anybody who's had any kind of a life crisis will say, as soon as that's over, life becomes more important than it ever was before. Every day becomes kind of like a gift. And we have that in our DNA, that life is something to hang on to, something to treasure, something to thank God for. And yet, sometimes that life is taken away from somebody we love in terms of its physical being. When that happens, it's a huge shock to us. And especially, you know, we know kids are not supposed to die before their parents do. That's not the way it's supposed to work, but it happens. And let me tell you what, you know, there's a lot of sublime answers to all of this, a lot of sophisticated answers. But I want to tell you the best one I ever heard. We had a lady who worked for us at Shadow Mountain in our office, and our campus is kind of spread out. And so when these people move about from place to place, they get in a golf cart. And you know, you've never seen anything as scary as a woman driving a golf cart around campus. But anyway, this it's very common. And this woman worked in our financial department. And one day I was at another office at Turning Point, and I got a call saying, you need to come to campus right away. This gal who worked in our finance office had gotten in her cart to go somewhere, and a guy came in the front gate in a pickup truck and lost control of his truck, and he hit her and he killed her just right on the spot. Never had anything like that happen before. This woman died in the arms of a good friend of mine. Her husband was an interesting man. He was very quiet. I knew him only by name, and his son played basketball with my son, so I knew him that way. But at the funeral, he got up and asked if he could speak. I'll never forget this, James. He said, people ask me all the time how I got through the loss of my wife in such a tragic way. And he said, this is what I tell them. And he paused for a moment and he said, I trust God. That's what gets it through it. That's how we get through it. With all the other things we don't understand why, we don't understand why did it happen to us, did I do something that it shouldn't have, but when you get right down to the basic of it, you wouldn't be here today doing what you're doing, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Here's the issue, I trust God. You don't trust God just when you understand Him, you trust God. And that man spoke out of faith that day in a way that just, this has been several years ago, and I've never forgotten that. I've read all the answers about it. That's the best one I ever heard. When you don't understand God, you trust God.
And I have to say, we've done that. Yeah. Betty, anything you want
to add? Yeah, and I have to agree with that wholeheartedly, because I have come to trust Him even more. through the heartache. And now I felt like God held me all the way through the instant grief that came. And it still comes at times, the heartache, the sorrow comes. Right. But I know in whom I believe.
Absolutely.
And I trust Him. And I look forward to seeing our daughter again. And after she passed away, I had a real interest in reading about heaven. You know, I think when I was younger, you didn't really want to think about it because it meant you were leaving all that you knew, all your loved ones and everything. And I'm not anxious because I want to be here as long as God wants me here.
Me too.
To serve Him.
Yeah.
But I, at the same time, I look forward to it. I'm not fearful of it. I'm excited about it because we know we'll live eternally with Jesus Christ. And so it's given me a new awareness of what heaven is really about.
Well, when you have somebody invested in heaven, heaven becomes very special to you. And we all, my parents are in heaven. I have a sister and a brother-in-law in heaven. We had a child that miscarried when we were first married in heaven. So when you have people in heaven, heaven becomes more than just a theological subject. It becomes a place that's very dear to your heart.
Do you think it's a mistake? You know, we read in Hebrews that we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, and it's obvious this is witnesses. You think it's a mistake because Robin would listen to her daddy preach, and I preached not too long before she left, as I preached the graduation at Church on the Move, where Willie George's pastor was their pastor, and I preached the graduating class of her oldest son, Chris, who now pastors a branch church of Church on the Move in the very area where the kids grew up. But Robin said after I preached, boy, Dad, you sure getting delivered. Talking about how I communicate the kids. I said, never watched them listen like that. And sometimes I feel like I hear Robin say, boy, Dad, that's really good. Is that, you think, just crazy imagination? Well, or you think our family could be part of those witnesses?
Let me see if I can put that back in perspective, James. That's something that would be... People ask me all the time, can people in heaven see what we're doing down here on this earth? Now, let me ask you this. If people in heaven can see what we're doing down here on this earth, is heaven still heaven? I mean, let's hope they can't see what we're doing down here.
Maybe
let's
some
glimpses.
Let's
pray they don't see what we're doing down here.
Well, I see her cheering the good things.
Yeah, well, if you hear that in your heart, I'm okay with it. But
You're not ready to go to the pulpit with a series on that?
No, sir, I'm not. I just think that heaven's got to be a lot better than that.
And well, you keep cheering Dad anyway.
Yeah, right.
I just want you to know that, you know, we're going to go over some of the questions that people ask in the next program. And, you know, we're going to answer some of these questions. You know, how about getting in the Lamb's Book of Life, since that's who's going to be there? And could you be blotted out of the Lamb's Book? Will there be work in heaven? Are we going to have fellowship with one another? How well will we know one another? Don't you think those are all pretty good questions? We're going to touch on
those are the questions that everybody asks that they don't think the Bible has anything to say about, so they don't think there's any answers. But there's some answers to those questions.
Well, we're going to talk to you in the next program, but here's the thing I want you to know. When a pastor preaches, he puts a whole lot more in a book like this than you can ever get out in a sermon.
Right.
And you actually are able to take all of the questions and give careful attention to them, biblical attention. We could never cover all of it if we just sit here and read them the Bible. They're going to say, we can do that at home. Why don't you do something else? So what we're going to do is have a discussion. But you literally pour answers into a book biblically, and you make comments on them, and you explain and expound the Word.
That's what
I try to do. And don't you appreciate the way Dr. Jeremiah does this? We're going to send you... Dr. Jeremiah, the publisher, has given everyone in this audience a book. Thank you very, very much. And we're going to send you one. Here's what we are asking. We're asking you to prayerfully consider sharing with someone the joy of a relationship with God and a demonstration of the love that brings. Jesus is the water of life. And we can share water for life because the water of life. I want you to watch this very, very closely. You're going to hear Sheila Walls in the midst of real heartache, and we hold the perfect cure. It's God's love shared. Watch.
You know, I've just visited the gravesite of a 9-month-old baby boy.
and I'm standing right beside his killer. It was water from this exact well that this darling boy is now getting his water from. It's a hand-dug well. It's not very deep, and the water is filthy. Mosquitoes lay their eggs in there. Children get malaria, they get diarrhea. This little one, this 9-month-old boy, died with diarrhea. The mom took him to the clinic to see if he could get some medicine. They gave him medicine, but by that point he was so sick, he couldn't even take the medicine. He vomited up again and died in her arms. I mean, it's unthinkable. I would never, ever let a child of mine drink this, but they've no choice. James, Betty, this is your heart. It has been your heart for years. The need is urgent. I've never felt such a sense of despair. I've visited 4 children's graves, and I've been here 3 days. And I've asked mothers, you know, what do you do when you lose a child? And every single one of them has said, we are just simply praying. We pray to God that he will send help. Well, here we are. We are the help. You and I are the help. So please, help us change the world. This is their normal. They need a new normal, where for the first time in their lives, they drink clean, fresh, life-giving water.
Boy, Betty, when you go from a scene of just seeing the horror of filthy water in that clean well there, and we know our viewers drilled that well and became a miracle not only for a few children, but an entire village, and we've saved millions of lives. What do you hope and pray that our viewers will sense in their spirit and do? Because they really are the only ones that can make it possible. You and I commit every time we talk about drilling wells, we ask God to let us drill a well. He answered that prayer, and we do it. And it's been a tremendous blessing. What do you want our viewers to hear and consider?
You know, just as Sheila said, I would never offer here my child or my loved one water like that. But would you, if that's all you had, if that's the only choice you had? Of course you would, just to help them live another day maybe. But when you see all the disease that can come from that, it's heartbreaking for a mother to watch her child slowly pass away, knowing that she can do nothing, not offer any hope at all to them. Well, we can be that hope that that mother's looking for. Won't you join with us? You've done it many times. And we don't apologize for asking, because there's so many needs out there, these precious little ones that have no choice but to drink that one diseased water. Please, let's give them hope. Let's drill the water wells for them. Thank you for helping.
You know, we talked about with Dr. Jeremiah about losing our precious daughter. And you knew we were in a battle because she was battling for her life. And you were praying for us. And Betty, I don't believe there's a person watching us right now or in this audience. They knew exactly what would have saved our daughter's life. Whatever it took, they would have gotten to us. I know you would. I know that. You know you would. Well, here is the perfect cure. And it's not wishful thinking. It's clean water. You paid for the drilling rigs. Very expensive. Hundreds of thousands of dollars for those rigs. Love through you paid for them. People like you. We can drill the well. It costs $4,800 to drill a well. That could be one of the great joys of your life, to give a whole village a well. You could give a part of a well. We find many people will give $1,200 and pray for 3 others to join them, or $2,400 and pray for 1 to join. But most of the money comes from people who understand that, now this is not an exaggeration. If you break it down, $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. You can multiply that out. This is a miracle, but it does work. It's not wishful thinking. Would you go right now online or dial that number? And would you go get your bank card and use it like a check? By the way, that's the way you should always use a bank card, like a check. But would you give the gift God puts on your heart, knowing that you're giving someone a miracle of life? Really, to many, changes everything. And they see the love of God in the missionaries, through you, and in the message they share about the water of life. We're going to send you Dr. Jeremiah's book on heaven, revealing the mysteries of it. You're going to be blessed mightily by it. Thank you for going to the phone. Thank you for going online. God bless you for your gift.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Prayers for My Physical Health, a Bible-based collection of 52 prayers designed to bring strength, healing, and renewal to every area of your body. Covering a wide range of physical needs, this beautifully crafted book encourages intimate conversations with God. With a gift of $100 or more, you may request the Armor of God tumbler set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with Ephesians 6:11, are a practical and meaningful way to carry a reminder of God's strength and protection throughout your day. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, I'm praying with all my heart there wouldn't be a single person watching who could do something. And don't you dare think that, boy, I couldn't give a well. $48 is so little. Well, it can save the lives of 10 precious children. We're sending Dr. Jeremiah's book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, and there's so much here. I mean, there's not only comfort and counsel, but I'm telling you, there is hope in the answers to sincere, serious questions. I feel like answered by someone who is anointed, gifted by God to do it. And we will send it to say thank you for any gift you make. Would you join Betty and me in thanking Dr. Jeremiah for sharing with us today? Dr. Rudy, thank you. Look forward to talking to you some more. All right. Thank you for watching. Thank you so much for your help. God bless you.
Can chart a purposeful path, creating a legacy of love and hope for future generations. Visit Life Planning Services today.
Tomorrow, Jennifer Rothschild encourages believers to embrace heaven with a faith that turns anticipation into excitement and peace.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.